This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 105, four tips to improve your bounced flash photography. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 105th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk about a bouncing direct flash with a DSLR, and bouncing is a great thing to do. But before we get into it, I always like to thank people for their comments on our last podcast, number 104, where we spoke about backing up images like a pro versus a bonehead. Neil Spears, Stephen Kennedy, Ken Walter, Jonathan Ramsdell all left really in-depth comments about their backup strategies in the blog, and that's so appreciated. A special shout out to Alan Levine of Alan Levine Photography, who recommended Spinrite, which I bought, and I haven't tried it yet. I'm so sorry, I mean to. I've just been so busy lately. But Spinrite is a program in order to get you to save failed hard drive, and not only Alan Levine, but at least four or five other photographers also recommend that I try it. I'm about to do it shortly. I had a bad cold for a week, blah, 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 but I will try it shortly, and I'm going to share my results in the next podcast. Okay, then, so let's just get right into today's topic, bouncing direct flash like a pro. You know, most people likely know that in general, on-camera direct flash is not the most interesting type of lighting. Why? This is because it's the interplay of light and shadow on a subject that usually makes the subject interesting. And when we use direct flash, we basically blast our subjects with harsh direct light. And this harsh direct light usually fills in any shadows, and it creates a very flat frontal lighting. Now, in a lot of cases, you know, beauty photography, that flat frontal lighting is gorgeous. But more often than not, when we're looking to produce interesting photography that's, you know, not fashion related, we don't necessarily want a flat lighting because it's boring. Also, another reason why this type of direct flash is not flattering is that when we shoot with direct flash, unless our flash is absolutely straight to the subject, absolutely parallel to the subject, if it's off even to a slight angle, you are going to create nasty shadows. You know, if your subject is too close to a wall, you're going to create a harsh shadow right behind the subject, and chances are it's not going to look great. In addition, if it's off to a slight angle, and let's say you're shooting a portrait of someone, the light from the flash is going to hit their nose, and that too will create an ugly shadow on their face. So, you know, this is the reason why, you know, direct on-camera flash, especially for portraits, is fairly ugly. I should say, you know, sometimes we have no choice and we simply need to use direct flash. Event photography, wedding photographers, they know this very, very well. You're in the hall at night and you're shooting pictures and the ambient light is low. The ceilings are really, really high. The room is really, really wide. There's nothing to bounce off of. So you're going to use direct flash in those cases. And, you know, it's not terrible. But if you have a chance to bounce your flash or take your flash off camera and do other things rather than flash the person directly, usually this is preferable. But like I said, when you need to use it, you know, use direct flash. Of course, use it. You know, you're in that hall for a wedding. The ambient light at night in particular, it's going to be low. You're not going to be able to take a good shot without direct flash. So use it when you have to and avoid it when you can. So if you can bounce the flash, I always recommend that you try bouncing the flash. So true enough, for the most sophisticated results, you may want to take the flash off camera because that gives you the ultimate control in lighting, in shaping, in the intensity, in the coverage, in the quality of the light. But many people just aren't there yet, in quotation marks. And anyway, there's so much you can do with bounced flash that this podcast is dedicated to that. And here goes. So way back in the early 90s, before the internet and cell phones were popular, people mostly shot on film. And that film was balanced for the light source used. And most people I know used a daylight balanced negative film. Now, the flashes that we used were also and are also balanced for daylight. So, you know, using flash with daylight worked really, really well. And why did we want and need this balanced film? We needed it to avoid color casts because different light sources produce different color casts. Street lights that are often sodium vapor based, they give off like a yellow orangey cast. Your eye won't see it because your eye will adjust to it, but the film will see it. Fluorescent lights give off a greenish cast. So when you shot under fluorescent lights with film photography, just regular daylight balanced film, you often had a greenish cast. Anyway, film photography was much more sensitive to these casts, and the casts were harder to correct. So because of this, back in the day in film photo school, I was advised to only bounce off of white walls, because if the wall had a particular color and you bounced off of it, your subject might get a cast from that color, and that cast might be difficult to remove. So basically, because white walls weren't common and white ceilings were common, we were basically advised to only bounce off the ceiling. And that worked well back then, and it works well now. And when you bounce off the ceiling, especially for portraits in particular, it really softens the light, and it can make for a lovely image. When it's done correctly, it becomes a butterfly type of lighting, and this type of lighting was really popular in the Hollywood lighting of the like 30s and 40s, I believe, and it's characterized by a soft butterfly shape under the nose, and it's really, really pleasing. But the key to this lighting bouncing off the ceiling is going to be the angle of the bounce, because you want the angle of the reflected light to fall on the face so that the eyes get lit. You know, if you're not careful and the angle of the bounce light hits the top of the head, then it's closer to a high noon lighting. And what happens in that case is that the eyes are not evenly lit, they're very dark, and the subject will have like Godfather eyes. If you ever watch The Godfather, in a lot of scenes, Brando's eyes, the Godfather, are not lit. And this makes for a really cool menacing effect, and you could use it to your own effect. But typically, unless we're going for this very dramatic looking effect, we want to see the eyes. And by bouncing off the ceiling at the correct angle, the eyes will get lit and will look quite lovely. And even though bouncing off the ceiling is fairly easy, it's really not my favorite type of lighting. You know, sometimes the ceiling is too high, or sometimes, you know, the ceiling in the spot you want to shoot or bounce off of has an ornament like a chandelier. And if you bounce through that chandelier, then that bounce can create shadows on your subject. So it's not a bad type of lighting to use, it's just not my fave. My favorite type of bouncing is going to be bouncing off the back wall or bouncing off one of the side walls. Now, in order to do this, you need a flash that can move in two directions. You really need to be able to tilt at the head of the flash from like straight on to up, so you could bounce straight up, and then from, you know, any angle in between straight on the subject and straight up where it's looking toward the ceiling. So if you can bounce in that direction, you can bounce off the ceiling. But you also need to be able to rotate the head as well. And you need to be able to rotate the head or spin the head left. You need to be able to spin the head right at a 90 degree angle from straight, you know, straight on the way you connect it. 90 degrees from that, either left and right. And you also need to be able to spin it 180 degrees so that it can fire directly in back of you. Now, most flashes of medium caliber to professional caliber, they're all going to be able to do this. So you should have no issue whatsoever unless you're buying the absolute, the cheapest flash. But like for $100 or less, you can find a used flash of one generation or two generations or three generations ago that are going to likely work perfectly well, and you'll be able to do this bouncing. So there's absolutely no reason to spend, you know, $500 to $600 on the latest, you know, Nikon or Canon flash, etc. Okay. Back to bouncing. As mentioned, you know, the side and the back, you know, 180 degrees are my favorite ones, but experiment, you know, you can try different angles for different light bouncing effects. You know, where I said, you know, the side, and then I said the back, if you go in between that, so like if the side is 90 degrees and the back is 180 degrees relative from the normal position of the flash, you know, somewhere around 135 degrees or 270 degrees so that you're hitting the back of you, but the back of you at an angle, that's also very, very cool. And depending on how far those walls are from your subject and the intensity of the flash, it's going to add really cool effects to your subject. It's going to light your subject in different ways, depending on that angle, depending on the intensity. And I dare say you are going to appreciate the different lighting effects that this can produce if you have no experience with this. And if you've only bounced off the ceiling, try bouncing off these other ways. You're going to see it works. And I find it works really well, actually. Now, one of the things you have to keep in mind is about the light intensity, right? So the light source that puts out the most intensity, that's going to be the main light. And that's what's going to create the lighting pattern on your subject. So if, for instance, you're shooting in a room with windows and you try bouncing this flash, well, depending on the light intensity that's coming through the windows, you know, if that light intensity is stronger than your bounced flash, well, that is your main light source. And you won't see the pattern of the portable flash. You basically want the portable flash to be your main light source, to be stronger than the light coming in through the window, if there is a window. And that way your main flash is the flash producing the lighting pattern, and you have a lot of control because it's so repeatable. Just shoot it. If you were off, just move up a bit, move the flash a bit, move your subject a bit closer to you. Play. But like, once you have your angle, it's reproducible, it's consistent, and you can use it in any circumstance in the future. Highly recommend it. Okay, back to bouncing. So a few minutes ago, we mentioned, you know, bouncing off of walls with color. So these days, most people have DSLRs. What if you bounce off a wall that's not white? Won't you get a color cast? You know, you might get a slight color cast, but in my experience, it's not strong enough to distract your eye. And the automatic white balance, AWB, on most modern DSLRs, I'm shooting with the Nikon D700, just in case anyone is interested, I find it really, really, really good. And when I use it with my bounced flash, I generally see very neutral results in my skin tones. And I've bounced off this way on walls of totally varying colors, you know, from the dreaded green wall or a light green wall to a light brown wall. I've done this without problems. Now, obviously, the darker your wall is going to be, the darker colors are going to eat up the flash. They're going to reflect that flash less. So you may have to increase the power, or you may not want to bounce off of, you know, darker colored walls to begin with. Those darker colored walls, they may give you a cast. You know, let's say it's dark forest green, or let's say it's dark chocolate brown, and the subject is really close to the wall. There's a chance you'll get a cast on the face, but I gotta tell you, it's like rare that I get a cast in my own photos that is distracting for me. Mind you, I usually keep my subjects a little farther away from the wall, but like I said, I find the automatic white balance really, really, really good. And you know, if by chance you do need to correct something locally, you know, if you're shooting in RAW, a local adjustment to an area like a face, it's cake in Photoshop or most any graphics program. You could just easily select that area and reduce whatever color cast is causing you the problem. And you'll be amazed at how lovely your subjects are going to look with this softer bounced light. Now, some people wonder about bouncing the light outdoors. And this is harder. I got to say, this is harder. And under a lot of circumstances, you're going to need a more specialized and larger size accessories like a very huge reflectors. In addition, you have to be careful about the light intensity. You know, it's very difficult to overpower the sun with a small portable flash. And the sun is usually going to be your main light. You know, you might be able to fill in some shadows with your flash, but in order to create the lighting pattern, you need a main light. So it's going to be hard for your little portable flash to be the main light when it's competing against the sun, unless you do so under specific circumstances. And those special circumstances might include, you know, waiting till later in the day. So let's say you're in an alleyway and, you know, it's 5-6 o'clock at night. The sun is likely very, very low, and you're likely not getting any direct sun in that alleyway. So in that case, the alleyway is still lit, but you can use your flash as the main light source in this case, even by bouncing, and you'll be surprised by the loveliness you can create. And in this case, the ambient light becomes the fill light. And of course, the flash bounced is your main light. And you could do this off a light colored bricked building. it just works well. You know, if you have people with you, you could bounce it into a larger reflector if you have help. But a lot of time you're alone. So when I bounce, a lot of time I'm alone. When I'm at a gig, I often have an assistant with me, and I'll often not use the flash at all. I'll just use a reflector. So a lot of this bounce business is going to be when you're alone, when you have to control the light source by yourself, and bouncing it is an easy one-person way to do this. Now, very often you can be outdoors by yourself and you'll have nothing to bounce off of. So if you have one of these medium-grade flashes or pro-grade flashes, there's a white card usually hidden inside the flash head itself. And most people use this flash as fill just because it's a small card and it's harder to direct the light that comes out of your flash head and it's going to hit that card. It's harder to direct that. So a lot of people are going to use that light as fill light. But again, you're bouncing that flash off the little white card into your subject. So I just wanted to touch on that as well. And how I use those little cards are, again, you know, I use them to add just a little bit of extra light. I'll often try and get them to make those little catch lights in the eyes. And for just that bounced fill light, it's perfect. And I believe that's going to do it for my bounced portable flash tips. The only other flash tip I wanted to mention has nothing to do with bounce light, because it's a fab tip and somewhat related to direct flash. I'm going to share it anyways. You know, sometimes we need to shoot a person or an object in a small room, and we just don't have the room to back up or to have the subject as far away from the background as we would like. You know, there may be no walls to bounce with. So again, sometimes we just need to use this direct flash. Now, one of the hassles of using direct flash is that it tends to create, as mentioned, this harsher shadow behind the subject. Especially if you're shooting in portrait mode, you typically have your flash held vertically, not horizontally. Your flash will therefore stick out to one side, and when it fires, it's going to hit that person's nose and create an ugly shadow on their face, or it may hit the back of their arm and create an ugly shadow on the wall. But that is happening because the flash is at an angle to the subject. So let's say you turn your camera into portrait mode, the flash is on the right side, it's creating that shadow on the wall. Sometimes, even though it might not be the most comfortable, if you turn the camera 180 degrees such that the flash is now not on the right but on the left, it's still in vertical mode. But by doing that, you may have made your flash much straighter relative to the subject. And when you do this, the shadows that the flash has produced are often hidden, you know, behind the person. So you don't get that ugly shadow on the wall. And because the flash isn't necessarily hitting the side of the person's nose, you're not getting these ugly shadows raking across the person's face. So basically, if you have to use direct flash, the straighter you use that direct flash, the less ugly shadows will be produced on the face, especially if we're talking about portraits. Anyway, just wanted to share that because it's such a simple tip and such an easy way to avoid those harsh shadows. Just so people know, I've taken a couple of shots of my lovely wife, Carmi, for this podcast where I shot her with direct flash and then different types of bounced flash. So of course, feel free to check out the show notes to see those photos and just see how much lovelier bounced flash is versus direct flash. Normally, for fuller flash explanations, we've done a number of podcasts on flash. Podcast number 4, we talked about fill flash. Podcast number 47, we talked about flash sync speeds. And podcast number 71, we talked about portable flash in general. Those links as well will go in the show notes. So if you want to brush up on your flash, feel free to check out those podcasts. In terms of assignments on the forum, still a few days left in March, and we have some good submissions. Our regular assignment is bright color. So many people have been fed up with the drab winter that bright color was chosen to break up the drab gray. And there's already some quite lovely submissions. And our level 2 assignment is silhouettes, which is a little bit trickier, but very, very fun. And we have some interesting submissions there as well. So if you've already submitted, thank you. Feel free to submit again. And if you're just lurking or intrigued, feel free to join our friendly forum. We're a friendly bunch and we give very constructive critiques when asked, and we don't give critiques when we're usually not asked. So feel free to join the forum. As always, the easiest way to get this podcast is by using a podcatcher like iTunes or Google Reader. And you could just click those links at the front page of the blog in order to do so, photography.ca/blog. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Spring is in the air now, and depending on where you are, it might still be gross and rainy. So feel free to practice these bounced flash tips, but don't ever stop. Just keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.